the bottom line is that we have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity, and that the vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a healthy enough diet and lifestyle.
That's Dr. Michael Greger, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Dr. Michael Greger is a physician, best-selling author, and internationally recognized speaker on nutrition. He's a graduate of Cornell University and Tufts University School of Medicine, and he's a founding member and fellow of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. Three of his recent books, How Not to Die, The How Not to Die Cookbook, and How Not to Diet, were all New York Times bestsellers. He joins us to talk about the new revised and updated edition of How Not to Die. Dr. Greger, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Well, the first book, How Not to Die, was a bestseller. So what's happened in the world since then in terms of research that prompted you to want to do an updated and revised edition of this book?
You know, the evidence supporting the extraordinary power of healthier food choices has really only gotten stronger over the last decade. But in terms of some of the new exciting studies, you know, one great example is Dr. Ornish's landmark Alzheimer's reversal study published last year. It was this randomized controlled phase two clinical trial that randomized men and women with early stage Alzheimer's to a healthy plant-based diet and lifestyle. In the control group, where they made no changes, 100% stayed the same or got worse, whereas in the diet and lifestyle group, 70% stayed the same or got better, a significant improvement in cognition 6 months later, right? So the bottom line is that we have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity, and that the vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a healthy enough diet and lifestyle.
In terms of the new research since the first book came out, did it mainly just confirm what you already thought, or were there some new things that actually changed your perspective?
Well, I mean, certainly, like the Alzheimer's thing, I mean, it was like, you know, with heart disease. You know, until the 70s, we didn't think heart disease was reversible at all. We thought you just get worse, 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 and you die. Same thing we used to think about high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes. And then, but we since found that they can be reversible. If you treat the underlying cause of these lifestyle diseases, you can eliminate the diseases. But something like Alzheimer's, I presumed that, you know, once nerve cells are gone, nerve cells are gone. I mean, they're not kind of resurrecting from the dead. So I was really skeptical when Ornish told me that he was trying to do an Alzheimer's study, but, you know, he's always kind of on the forefront. And so that was really a surprise to me. I would have guessed that you'd see no benefit, but the fact that he actually got an improvement in cognition suggests that there may be some kind of just by improving blood flow to the brain, there may be some kind of backup brain supply that can go online and kind of fill in the gap. So that was certainly one of the most surprising things of the last decade.
Well, you mentioned several major diseases and conditions that can be helped by diet. Are there specific diets for each of those diseases, or is there a, you know, dietary plan we can follow that helps in all of those areas?
Turns out one diet to rule them all, it seems. And it seems, I mean, that's almost a little, you always have to get skeptical when people come up with some kind of panacea thing where, oh, this works for this and it works for, the snake oil works for these list of diseases. But when you understand the underlying physiology, the underlying biology, it makes more sense, right? And so, you know, when Ornish and Pritikin prove that you can reverse heart disease, open up arteries without drugs, without surgery, just this plant-based diet and lifestyle, well, you realize, well, wait a second, the heart is not the only organ that needs blood supply to bring oxygen, get rid of waste products. Blood supply is important to your brain and your liver and your kidneys, etc. And so no wonder a heart-healthy diet is a brain-healthy diet, is a kidney-healthy diet. But then there's also the anti-inflammatory component. So plant-based diets are essentially synonymous with anti-inflammatory diets. And since inflammation plays a role in so many of our chronic diseases, including things like type 2 diabetes, that no wonder an anti-inflammatory diet can help in so many different ways. And finally, a plant-based diet is what best feeds the gut microbiome, because what our good gut bugs eat are the fiber and resistant starch found concentrated in whole grains and legumes, which are beans, split peas, chickpeas, and lentils. And we're now realizing that the gut microbiome, these good gut bugs in our gut, are not just for intestinal health, but they actually produce these byproducts that are absorbed through the colon wall into our bloodstream, circulate throughout our body, even cross the blood-brain barrier into our brain, and can have mental health benefits. Something like butyrate has an anti-inflammatory effect. And so you have someone, eat a bean burrito at night and measure the hypersensitivity of asthmatic lungs the next day after your good gut bugs are eating that same gut burrito, you have a significantly improved anti-inflammatory effect. Your lungs are less sensitive to asthma attacks. You can get a decrease in asthma exacerbations. You're like, wait a second, what does gut health have to do with lungs? Well, it's because it's an anti-inflammatory effect, and you can see that in organ systems throughout the body.
Now, certainly you present compelling reasons to adapt and adopt a plant-centered diet. But for those who say, I just don't know if I can do that, is there value in working toward that direction, just adding more plants into your diet? Will you see some benefit that way?
Absolutely. I mean, we should try to eat primarily plants, not necessarily exclusively plants. A plant-based diet is really just about maximizing the intake of the healthiest of healthy foods. You know, certainly as a physician, you know, labels like vegetarian or vegan, I mean, that just tells me what you don't eat. I mean, you actually eat vegetables, right? And look, it doesn't matter what you eat on your birthday, holidays, special occasions, right? But on a day-to-day basis, we really should try to center our diets around these natural foods from fields, not factories, you know, these unprocessed plant foods. So one need not make drastic changes. It's not all or nothing. Even basic common sense lifestyle behaviors can mean living a decade longer, not smoking, not being obese, regular exercise, more fruits and vegetables. And it's never too late. Never too late to stop smoking, to start moving, to start eating healthier. We really do have the power.
What are some simple things that we can do right now to start working in that direction?
Well, the first half of the book is just 15 chapters on preventing, arresting, or reversing each of our top 15 killers with diet, talking about the role. But I didn't want it to just be a reference book. And so the second half of the book is about making practical kind of day-to-day grocery store style decisions. And I center my recommendations around a daily dozen checklist of all the healthiest of healthy foods. I encourage people to fit into their daily routine. So not just, you know, fruits and vegetables, but specifically berries every day, the healthiest fruits, dark green leafy vegetables, the healthiest vegetables, nuts every day, the healthiest snack, legumes every day, the healthiest source of protein, tablespoon of ground flaxseed, quarter teaspoon of turmeric, on down the list. It's available as a free app on iPhone and Android, where you can track your progress. You can just search for Dr. Greger's Daily Dozen.
Let's talk about nuts, for example. All nuts are not created equal. It depends on how those nuts have been processed, etc. But one of them that the last time you and I talked to you, you touted as being a really good one are walnuts. Do you still feel like that's among the best nuts you can take in its raw form?
Yeah, walnuts really are the best. And that is because not only do they have the highest amount of these omega-3 fatty acids, alpha-linolenic acid, but it's the only nut that's been proven to acutely improve endothelial function, improve artery function. So it's the only nut that has been shown within hours of consumption to improve the function of your arteries, improve their ability to relax normally. They really do fit the bill. And they actually tie with cashews in terms of lowering your LDL cholesterol, which is the primary driver of our primary killer heart disease. Other nuts are not as good as walnuts and cashews for bringing down your cholesterol.
So what are some other common vegetables that we should be doing more of?
Oh, you know, well, something that's really underappreciated is actually mushrooms. So when I talk about a plant-based diet, really, it's a plant, you know, these mushrooms aren't even in the plant kingdom. It's sort of like a plant and fungi-based diet, although that doesn't kind of sound as good. But there are these so-called micronutrients like ergothionine and spermidine that are found in mushrooms and nowhere else, essentially. And so if we don't eat mushrooms, we're really missing out on these purported longevity vitamins, meaning vitamins in the sense that they're not essential for life, but essential for a long life. So, for example, spermidine, which is the compound found more than any other to extend life, at least in laboratory animals, to the greatest extent, and it's found concentrated in mushrooms, though it can be found in other sources like beans, split peas, chickpeas, lentils. So if I was going to make kind of a baker's daily dozen, I would encourage people to get mushrooms in their diet every day as well.
This book will provide people with the information they need But I want to give you a chance to talk about another book you have. And for people who want to cook this way, you have the How Not to Die cookbook.
Certainly. Every one of my major books, the How Not to Die cookbook, there's the How Not to Age cookbook, where again, not just every single recipe is healthy, but every single ingredient of every single recipe is healthy. You say, wait a second, how can you make something salty without salt or sweet without sugar? Well, those are some of the challenges we had and really excited what we came up with. You know, it doesn't matter how healthy a diet is if it isn't delicious. Like, you could white knuckle anything for a little while, but unless you're actually something that you want to stick with for the rest of your life, you're not going to do it. And so that's why it wasn't enough to just get the information out there. We decided to do this series of cookbooks to be like, all right, let's find some things that you really enjoy that will, you know, keep you on the right path.
Well, this is the second edition of the How Not to Die book. And we didn't have time to talk about everything that's in here, obviously. But again, what are some of the key concepts that you hope readers are going to take away from it?
The key concept is, look, it's your body, your choice. If you want to smoke cigarettes or go bungee jumping or not wear your seatbelt, or, you know, what, it's up to each of us to make our own decisions as to how to live, as to what to eat and how to live. But we should make these choices consciously, right? Educating ourselves about the predictable consequences of our actions. So that's really what I see my work is. You know, I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm just saying you should know what would happen if you did do this, right? And then it's totally up to you. I mean, then I feel like my job is done. Once people are fully informed, I think that's what the role of all doctors should be, right? It's not the role of your doctor to tell you what to do. The role of the doctor is like, okay, here's your options. Here's the pros and cons of each of those options. And then, you know, it's up to you. And everybody's a little different in terms of what priorities there are in their life. And so, you know, that's not my role. Unfortunately, this information about the power of diet and lifestyle to affect disease, there just isn't kind of a, you know, corporate budget driving its promotion. You'll hear about the latest drugs. You'll hear about some of the latest surgical innovations and medical devices. But there's some kind of bad incentive set up. And so the new study on broccoli comes out, right? Like, no one's going to hear about it. It's just going to get lost. There's not like Big Broccoli, you know, putting out ads on Super Bowls or something. So that's kind of my role, is to get all that amazing stuff. So there's these amazing studies where like a quarter teaspoon of ginger powder, has this amazing benefit for osteoarthritis, this leading cause of physical disability. But it's like, there's no ginger lobby. You're never going to hear about this. I mean, it works as well as drugs without the side effects. I mean, it's like, why won't we ever hear about this? And it's there for anyone to find, but it's just, you know, so there's this mountain of evidence I want to bring out to the public. And that's what these books are all about.
To learn more, the book is the revised and updated edition of How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. Dr. Greger, thank you for talking with me today.
So happy to. And just to note, all the proceeds from all my books are donated directly to charity. I just want everyone to live the longest and healthiest life.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.